As you take your seat, I would like to invite you to pull out the scriptures, pull out your Bible or the Pew Bible, and also you have a pink bulletin insert that gives some sermon notes and some sermon outline. I'm going to suggest that you just listen as I read John 1:14, but then turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. And I'll be reading verses 2 through 18 in Colossians 4, the fourth chapter of Paul's epistle to the Colossian church. That begins on page number 1835 in your Pew Bibles, if you're turning to it there. But listen as I read the one verse, and I'll be reading the rest of the scriptures as we go along in the message. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." I hope that you're in more than just survival mode. Sometimes as we go through Thanksgiving, the preparations, and now Black Friday and Cyber Monday or whatever it is, you know, this is just the beginning. I overheard somebody saying, "We made it. We made it through that. Are you ready?" No, not in the least. You know, you're gathering momentum, hopefully surviving the season, but more than that, thriving spiritually. Our annual dilemma, it seems, is how are we going to get through this time, this busy, hectic season? More specifically, as you and I prepare for Christmas, can we do it without losing Jesus in the shuffle? With all of the extra activities, all the necessities of this season, shopping, wrapping, decorating, baking, all the Christmas concerts and cantatas, which are wonderful, but it's easy to lose Christ, the heart of the season. Or at least, it's easy to push Him to the peripheral vision of our lives. With the everyday countdown to Christmas, how many shopping days till Christmas? 26 or so, I guess. Well, are you spending less and less time with Jesus in prayer and devotion? There's the issue. My suggestion to you this morning is that throughout this time, these 4 weeks building up to Christmas, this Advent season, my recommendation is that you identify major family and personal traditions and consciously, intentionally plan to make Jesus more central in each of those traditions. Purposely and deliberately aim to put Christ in your heart, at the heart of the beloved traditions and celebrations. Add some spiritual substance to the familiar, sentimental journeys that we love so much. For Jesus, the reason for the season is more than just a lapel pin or a bumper sticker or a car magnet. He is indeed the heart of the season. This morning we're beginning an Advent series of sermons entitled Seasoning the Season. Seasoning the Season, based on and inspired by a series by David Maines of Mainstay Ministries. We're going to be considering through these weeks building up to Christmas how we can spice up the holiday celebrations with more of Jesus, bringing out the full flavor of Christ in Christian traditions, like traditions like holiday greetings, holiday gift giving, holiday family gatherings, Christmas worship, all the things that we love. Seasons greetings, seasoned with the flavor of Christ. More than but especially Christmas cards. For example, I started writing them out on Friday. Already I'm launched into that. How many have started writing out, sending Christmas cards? Anybody send cards yet? I have to wait till after I get paid today to afford the stamps to go and mail them, but I've started. Anybody receive any Christmas cards yet? There you go, okay. How many have at least bought Christmas cards and are thinking about it? How many have not even begun to worry about it? All right, okay, I appreciate that. But, anyhow, Christmas greetings. That's the focus of this morning's message. How to season your greetings with Christ. In the Bible, greetings are very significant. They're a big deal in the Bible. Biblical greetings. For example, angelic greetings at Christmas time. We consider the special cameo appearances of the angel Gabriel. Gabriel appearing to Zechariah and to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds of Bethlehem. Remember how Gabriel came to Mary? And in the King James Version, he said, "Hail Mary." Greetings, as the New International Version says. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Luke chapter 1, verse 29 says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Gabriel said, "Don't be afraid. Don't worry about it, Mary. You have found favor with God." And he goes on. Hail being, in today's vernacular, good morning, or hi, or hello, or howdy, or yo. Right? Remember the angelic greeting to the Bethlehem shepherds? As they sang, they said, "Fear not, don't be afraid." Fear being the natural response of first century herders of sheep to this heavenly host, this heavenly army of mighty warrior angels. Imagine that, singing in a loud voice. These shepherds, unaccustomed as they were to nocturnal angelic intrusions to their evening routines, right? This awe-inspiring heavenly glory. Greeting, an introduction to the message of good news and great joy, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at the Apostle Paul's greetings and salutations, Paul's personal greetings and salutations often begin, his letters and epistles often begin with peace, the traditional shalom aleichem in Hebrew, peace be unto you, as the Hebrews would and still do greet one another. But Paul would add grace and peace, because at the heart of the Christian message is God's amazing grace. So the beginning of his letters would start with grace and peace. And here in Colossians chapter 4, I want to read for you his closing parting messages or greetings to individuals. Listen as we hear, first of all, how Paul begins with specific instructions on how to greet others and then gives specific salutations to people, those he knew in the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. "Devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt." You can insert light potato chips in there. Seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you to express for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is also called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember the chains. Grace be to you. As we think about our own greetings, maybe you have a tradition of sending Christmas cards or greeting cards, or at least today making Facebook posts greeting people. I got a lot of Happy Thanksgiving posts on Facebook. But especially as we think about seasoning the greetings that we make with Christ. Colossians 4:5 says, "Be wise, with wisdom, make your greetings in all of these wonderful opportunities that we are given to share Christ in this season with friends and family, especially those who don't know him." Not in a preachy, showy way, but naturally, in a way that comes naturally. Focusing on Jesus, the real star of Christmas. Verse 2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, looking to the Lord to open a door to our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ." Verse 5, "Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders, and make the most of every opportunity." Think about it. In your greetings, let your conversation or seasoned greetings be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. You see, all of us are charged with enhancing the flavor of our hellos, of our greetings, as lights of the world and salt of the earth. That brings out the full flavor of Christ when you put him at the heart of your greeting. Seasonal greetings, seasoned greetings, including contacts with checkout clerks at ShopRite, mail carriers or postal employees, bank tellers, gas station attendants, retail sales people in the malls. Think about it. All the people you work with, all the people you connect with on Facebook, with friends. Seasoned greetings include Christmas cards or Christmas caroling. My family used to love to go around our neighborhood and sing our Christmas cards, so to speak, to all of our neighbors, since we had four parts. Mom What's that line? Daddy sang bass or whatever. Well, actually, he did. I sang tenor. Lynn sang soprano. Mom sang alto. We had four parts. And we had a great time. And it was a great witness. So we sang the carols of the season. Point is that there should always be a balance in our greetings, whether it's cards or letters or whatever it is. Always full of grace, seasoned with salt. In other words, Christian, rise above the cynical reactions to the materialistic commercialization of Christmas. Don't react. Yes, the Christmas greeting card industry capitalizes and profits from all these time-honored traditions. But we can seize the opportunity to make the most of our greetings for the witness of Christ. Christian, rise above the angry reactions to the secularizing of society. Politically correct, inclusivistic influences, watering down the season's message, the significance and substance of the season. Yes, the world is trying to be non-offensive to personal sensitivities. We hear this time of year all about the department store's Happy Holidays policy. Nobody is allowed to say Merry Christmas in the major department stores. Don't want to offend anybody. Well, without offending, we can be ourselves. We can say and witness to our faith. We lovingly share Christ. Yes. Don't take Christ out of Christmas. Don't let the secularists win all the culture wars, but don't be angry or obnoxious, arrogant or reactionary. Always be full of grace. Here's the balance right in this passage. For our witness is not for our own sake. Wow, I really said it to him, didn't I? It's not so we can feel good, but it's for the glory of God and for the salvation of people that we come in contact with. Remember, as I said, as I read John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. He was full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Jesus is the incarnation of undiluted truth, balanced with, blended fully with undiminished grace. That's what we should be as we reflect His image. You know, conversations with our family and friends shouldn't leave a bad taste in their mouths. Seasoned with Christ. Every year I have the dilemma as I pick out Christmas cards for my cousins. You know, they know that our branch of the family is very involved in Christian things, and they expect to be having Jesus shoved down their faith, down their mouths, down their throats. Especially as a preacher, oh, look out. Even if I just say a little bit, they hear it as a scream, right? And yet, we have a marvelous opportunity to use this in a loving and graceful way to share Christ. The substance of divine truth with the full flavor of His love and grace. There's the balance. There's the blend. Christian, don't water down or wash out the gospel of the season. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, literally. But don't use His manger to be a club to beat people over the head with. Lovingly bring out the full flavor of Christ. I have seven specific seasoning suggestions for what I'm talking about. Tidings of comfort and joy. For example, number one, a specific seasoning suggestion is you can choose a religious theme for your family cards. Christian images and symbols are a subtle way to season the season with the reason for the season. Or, number two, each year add to your Christmas card list the names of unbelievers you have met during the past year, including neighbors or people you work with. Number three, if you've already purchased more generic Christmas cards, be sure to add an inscription inside the card that makes mention of Jesus' birth and God's love as you share. Number four, if you write a Christmas letter, don't brag about your family's exploits, right? You've all gotten letters like that. Here we go. Celebrate something God has done in your life. Make a testimony of what's happened in your life, acknowledging some area for which you'd like prayer. Number five, at the bottom of your greeting, the bottom of your card, resist the temptation to simply sign your name. Write a few lines in longhand communicating your interest in that person's life to show that you really care. Number six, if a verse of Scripture has come alive to you this past year, write the reference down with your signature as a theme for the year. One more, if you send a family photo as your card, identify each person in the picture by name and add a prayer request for each person. What a great opportunity. Missionaries do it. We can do it as well. Well, Jesus is the reason to season the season. We don't have to add or subtract activities in an already full schedule. Instead, add more spiritual flavor to the things already planned. Bring the full flavor of Christ to these Christian and Christmas traditions. See, Advent, these 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, are Christ-flavored traditions at their beginning. Advent is really designed to whet your appetite for His coming. Advent is really a time to remember that Jesus has come and that He's coming again, the second Advent. And boy, that tastes good to me. Advent is a time to let your conversations be always full of grace and truth, seasoned with peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Advent is a time to be wise and make the most of every opportunity. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this privilege of being Your witnesses, to share the light, to be the salt of the earth. Help us, Lord, not to lose our savor. Help us to be salt-filled, Spirit-filled by Your grace. Share with those with whom we come in contact. Help us, Lord, to make the most of every opportunity to be Your witnesses, to reflect Your glory, that people might see You in us and in all that we say and do. We thank You, Lord, for this time in Your Word. We ask that You would help us to live what we hear and say what we see. In Jesus' name, amen.